Welcome to the From the Field broadcast, recorded from the Amazon Basin. Listen now as Brother Andrew brings you good news from a far country.
Talked a lot about this week, off and on, about living in grace and not striving and trying and getting under the load of the law again, and what a privilege that is. And so here, I want to look at I know maybe there's been some questions. If I can't do anything, then how's anything gonna get done? It's always a good question to ask. James chapter number 2. I want to, if you stand, if you got your Bible tonight, stand if you will. James chapter number 2. And I want to look here dealing with faith and with works. Verse 14 says, "What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man must say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith with my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Thou wilt know, vain man, that faith without works is dead." Now, I just want to look here at this for a moment or two, talk to you just a little bit about this tonight. Living in liberty under God's grace is a walk of faith. And in doing so, you find yourself in the body of Christ. Some folks here tonight, possibly a hand, possibly a pinky toe, or an eyelash, but eyelid, but somehow you're in the body of Christ. And so it's Christ working in you, the hope of glory, changing you from image to image into the image of Christ, day in, day out. It's Christ working on you. You're in the body of Christ, and you access that Christ life by faith, the same faith He gave you at salvation, and it is a life under the grace of God. Now, in saying that, James here has written to these Jewish believers, and he's said to them some things very, very noteworthy tonight. He said, "I will show thee my faith with my works." Now, if I'm in the body of Christ, I'm living that life by faith. Christ is in me. He's working on me, changing me to His own image. He's doing things in me. Now, if I'm in the body tonight, just like you picture my body up here, my stature, my frame, Christ is the head and we're the body. And so as individuals and as body of believers, we make up this body, Christ. And so when I move, when you walk, thinking about it, as your own body, your own self, things are moving. Things are taking place every step you make. And so, finding our place in the body, simply giving ourselves up to God, a yielded, surrendered life, and God Himself helps us to know where we fit in the body. And so, when we're in the body of Christ, as far as the eyes of God's concerned, there's no job of greater value or lesser value. And so I want to look at that a little bit tonight. And I think I'll, with the help of God tonight, look at this a little in depth concerning our position as far as in the body and in Christ and where we fit. Where do you fit in the will of God? What does God have for you to do as far as Him enabling and working in you mightily? Here's an example of the Apostle Paul. God saves him. God's got a place specifically for him. It was to carry the gospel throughout different lands. That was his position in the body. So James here has helped us to see that faith and works go hand in hand. It's not so much that now that I'm working to please God, that my faith in Christ, my faith is anchored that He Himself is not only working on me, but working through me. If you've ever been down a highway and you've seen that double line in the middle of the road, that's a lot like faith and grace, faith and works. They go hand in hand. They go side by side. It's the grace of God that enables you to do what God has placed on your lap to do. Paul said, "It is by the grace of God I am what I am." He realized in his own frame, in his own training, his own nature, he said, there's no way I can do this. There's no way that I could ever even ponder it. I could even do it my own strength. God had showed him so many times that he knew that it was God Himself doing it through him. And he lived that life by faith. Chapter 1, we see here that we know that the Lord has come. He's left now. They've been praying in the upper room. And they've definitely been praying for sure over Judas's spot, his place, for he himself had gone out and hung himself. He was the one that was a traitor, betrayed the Lord. And so now they have... they've looked it over and they've looked out through all the land and they're looking for someone to replace Judas's bishopric. So they look and they have looked for some men now to fill the place. They've come up with two selections. Look at here what it says in verse number 20. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained and be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. He was numbered with the 11 apostles." And so here, now, I want you to notice now, both men now, Justus and Matthias, are qualified to serve in this position. Both men have been with the Lord Jesus Christ on His earthly ministry. Both men had witnessed the resurrection. And so both men fit the qualification to take the bishopric of Judas, to fulfill the 12 again, to make it whole number again. And the Bible says the lot fell upon Matthias. And so Matthias was brought into the inner circle, the 12, and he was put into this position. Though that both men met the qualifications. Listen to me now. Both men met the qualifications. God knew the hearts of all men. God knew what was in the makeup of all of both of these men. And God said, when the lots fell, the Jewish custom believed that when they cast lots, they believed it was kind of like dice, but it was different. Different markings on these little stones. And when they would cast these, they believed that when they was in the air, they believed that God touched each one in a certain way to land exactly the way God wanted to land. So they believed that God looked at both men and said that this saw the heart of this man, saw the inner making of this man, saw all the things that God had given this man, and it fell upon Matthias. It was a special place. It was a position that God, through the sovereignty of His foreknowledge from the beginning of the foundation of the world, knew that Matthias would fill this position. Y'all with me? Say amen. Okay, and so here's justice now. He's equally qualified to fill it, but it's not in the place of the body where God desires justice to be. And so he goes on now, and this man, justice could have pushed his lip out, could have been playing the blues, but we see him, rightfully so, he's been following the Lord ever since now, and it's like he never stutter steps. He continues following the Lord. And he finds himself serving in the church. Even on in the book of Acts, he helps carry a letter, a very important, prestigious letter that would help further the New Testament church. He carries it to Paul. And so God still has, and I'll be honest with you, there wasn't another man on the face of the planet that could have carried that letter to Paul that day, but justice. And so, what a great, and it had to do with law and grace. They was having some discussions. You remember when Paul withstood Peter to the face? It was concerning circumcision and uncircumcision, and Paul's saying, "Look, the same Holy Ghost that you've got as Jewish believers is upon the Gentiles. They've never been circumcised before." And so it was a letter concerning this, and so it was a great. It helped us today realize that I don't have to walk under the law. And so here's this man that kind of seemingly walks off the page of the Bible, but yet God has a plan for his life. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is that a lot of times we'll read stories of the heroes of the faith. We'll read things, for an example, like men like Charles Spurgeon. Or we'll read stories like Adoniram Judson or Miss Gladys Awkward, that carried that helped out the orphans there. We maybe a Harry Tinboom or Carrie Tinboom or David Brainerd or William Carey. Some of these great men of the faith that we've heard, even in our day, David Wilkerson, or just some of these men that we might have sat back and said, "Wow, how that God has used them."
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast today. Hope it's been a blessing and a help to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina 28904. That's Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.